Welcome to the September podcast for Neurosurgical Focus. I'm Natalie Pynchon. This issue is on the topic of AVMs, Strategies for Management and Outcome. In this podcast, topic editor Dr. Aaron Cohen-Godall of Indiana University, Indianapolis, speaks with Dr. Michael Lawton of the University of California, San Francisco. They discuss Dr. Lawton and colleagues' article, Treatment and Outcomes of Aruba-Eligible Patients with Unruptured Brain Arteriovenous Malformations at a Single Institution.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us for another podcast for another issue of the Neurosurg Focus. This podcast relates to the September 2014 issue of Neurosurg Focus on AVMs, Strategies for Management and Outcome. We're honored today to have with us Dr. Michael Lawton from University of California, San Francisco. He's Vice Chairman of Neurosurgery and Director of Scobis and Cerebrovascular Surgery there. Michael, thank you for joining us.
Nice to be with you, Aaron. Thank you.
You're welcome, Michael. As an introduction, I think not much is necessary to be said, but you really have proven yourself as one of the greatest leaders of cerebrovascular surgery. And not only you have really established yourself as a master surgeon, as truly a great scientist and a dear friend to many cerebrovascular surgeons across the world. So I really want to first congratulate you on behalf of all of our readers and listeners for the spectacular work you have done to push the field of neurovascular surgery specifically to a new level.
Aaron, you're too kind, but thank you.
You're welcome. So let's go ahead and start talking about your paper, which I really enjoyed reading in this issue of Neurosurg Focus regarding treatments and outcomes of Aruba-eligible patients with unruptured brain arteriovenous malformation at UCSF. This is really an important paper and very timely because of the results of the Aruba trial. What is most important about Aruba is that the study, although was started with great intention, unfortunately was not finished for the right reasons, and the results may not be reflective of what is the correct data needed to alter clinical management of our patients with arteriovenous malformations. However, certain clinicians, more specifically neurologists, may take this study to heart and don't understand some of the shortcomings of these studies, which has to be clearly described before the information can be generalized to a large group of patients. So as I understand, you guys participated in Aruba, and 473 patients were screened for eligibility, but only 4 patients were enrolled. Before we start about the specifics of the study, can I please ask you to give me your impression of Aruba? What are the advantages and disadvantages, and what are the reasons that led you to conduct this present study?
I think Aruba is one of these game-changing studies that will go down in our annals as a study like ISAT that really changes the landscape of clinical practice for AVM surgery. So it's really one of those forces to be reckoned with, and we have to deal with these results very carefully and very vigorously. I applaud the efforts of the Aruba trial to try and do a randomized scientific review or study prospectively of our interventions for AVMs, and I think our interest in participating really was because we felt that it had value. It was something that had never been done before, and so it made sense to really study what our interventions were doing to our patients. Bill Young was my partner, my collaborator here at UCSF with the Aruba trial. He has relations that date way back with J.P. Moore and his team in New York. And so we were on board and optimistic from the get-go, and Bill is a co-author on the published Aruba paper. I think the intentions of the study were good. I think the execution really is where things went off the rails. And unfortunately, this was a trial that was designed by neurologists, I think, with the hypothesis, the working hypothesis, that surgery wasn't helping patients. And so there was definitely an animosity, a hidden bias to begin with. I think that was part of what doomed this trial. The other thing that doomed it was that, you know, as a community of neurosurgeons, we didn't embrace it the way that we probably ought to have embraced it. I think if we had embraced the trial and really made a vigorous attempt to enroll all of our patients, all those willing to participate in it, we would have had a decent shot at proving the benefits of surgery problem for many of us, myself included, was that we all believe in surgery. We all believe that the risks of low-grade AVM surgery, for example, are low, and that there wasn't equipoise between a grade 1, Spetzel-Martin grade 1 patient being treated with observation versus being treated surgically was in equipoise. And so we didn't feel comfortable doing that. And probably the same could be said for the high-grade AVMs. It just ended up not making a lot of sense for a lot of neurosurgeons because of this lack of equipoise on the ends of the Spetzel-Martin scale. And that, I think, really led to this whole problem of poor enrollment in Aruba and not getting enough of the best surgical cases and probably getting too many of the not-so-great surgical cases in there. One of my biggest criticisms of the way the trial ended up was that we ended up with Aruba results that are really a non-surgical trial. In the end, in the final analysis, only 18% of the patients in Aruba that were treated surgically. 81% were treated with either endovascular embolization, radiosurgery, or combinations of the two. And I don't think this really represents the gold standard treatment for AVMs. That's really why I find the paper that we put together here for the issue so interesting, is that our series here, these 74 patients that we reviewed, that really does represent, in our view, the gold standard mainstream approach to AVM treatment, at least in America. And so that's, I think, a more reflective management style than what we see in Aruba, which was really a more European style where patients were aggressively embolized with a lot of associated complications. Patients were treated with radiosurgery and not completely cured. The embolization cure rates are also low. So you've got problems with treatment-related morbidity and incompletely cured lesions that are going to be a real setup for being unable to show a difference, an advantage to intervention and particularly surgery. Those are my main critiques. To boil that down, it was a bit rambling, but just the lack of a high randomization rate in Aruba, this low utilization of surgeons and surgical technique, an expertise in the trial that I don't think reflected what neurosurgery is capable of, at least in the States, and in the end, a really disappointing outcome.
I completely agree with you. And also, the study was really stopped a very short period of time. I think 33 months was the follow-up period, which is extremely low for a benign lesion in a short time to do follow-up. As you know, AVMs have risk of hemorrhage about 2% per year. And if you just follow up for 33 months, that's really not in any way an adequate period of follow-up. Do you agree, Michael?
Yeah, completely.
In the United States specifically, how much effect has Aruba had in management of patients with arteriovenous malformations?
It varies from place to place. I can tell you that when a paper gets published like Aruba in such a visible journal, everybody's going to read it and everybody's going to take those conclusions to heart. So neurologists, I think, who read Aruba results are real impressed by the difference in the outcomes, and they're questioning whether it's even reasonable to make referrals for surgical evaluation. I think patients have found the Aruba results and factored that into their decision making. So it really is having a big impact. It's only been published for a year, and I definitely feel that we have a lot more explaining to do and a lot more discussion in the office, taking people through the results and explaining to them the shortcomings of the trial. Like I said at the beginning, it's like ISAT. People have found this. People are heeding the conclusions, rightly or wrongly, and it is having an impact.
Has it affected your operative schedule, would you say, in the number of AVMs that undergo surgery at UCSF?
That's a good question, and I haven't looked at the exact numbers. My feel is that it hasn't dramatically altered things.
Okay.
I think maybe perhaps a little bit, but not a significant number. But I think over the long haul, it will.
I can tell you from my personal experience that it has not affected our operative load and many other folks that I know in terms of cerebrovascular surgeons who operate on arteriovenous malformations. So I personally don't feel that Aruba would in any way have a close impact as much as ISUIA or other studies did, just because the flaws that are in the study are much more apparent as compared to other studies that have affected treatment of smaller aneurysms that are unruptured. Going back to your study, it says that 473 patients were screened for eligibility, and that's from your abstract. However, only 4 patients were enrolled in Aruba. May I ask what the reason is? Is the eligibility criteria so strict? What was the reason behind that result?
You have to remember that all AVMs that walked through the door were screened, and that included a lot of ruptured AVM patients. So when you consider that 2/3 of AVM patients come in with a rupture, that takes out a big chunk right off the bat. Those that were unruptured and eligible turned out to be 87. So of that 473, when you go through the list of inclusion criteria like age and whatnot, those get taken off the top. But 87 were eligible. To go from 87 to 4, I think, is an interesting question. And that has to do with the issues we touched on. The equipoise issue was a big one. When I have these conversations with patients in the office, the way I handled the Aruba trial as a center was to have the same discussions I always do, which is to lay out the option of observation, the option of surgery when I felt it was a good surgical lesion, the option of radiosurgery, and with embolization being really primarily just a pre-surgical adjunct. So those three options, and then I would add the fourth option of being randomized in the Aruba trial and participating in that science. It may be a reflection of that way of bringing up Aruba. I think if given sort of a menu in that manner, when patients receive that, they tend to have a much stronger interest in making a real active decision in their healthcare rather than entering a trial. It's difficult to get people to allow the flip of a coin, essentially, decide how their AVM is going to be managed. They come in with a lot of anxiety, a lot of preconceptions, a lot of expectations. And to get them to reduce this complex decision to a randomization, I found very difficult. But having said that, that was my approach, was to take them through the menu of the observation surgery or radiosurgery with Aruba as the fourth option and answer any and all questions that would come up. And that's really how we did it.
Can we, before we go to further details regarding your study, tell us what's the really final conclusion of this paper?
The bottom line is this. Aruba found a threefold increase in stroke and death rates in patients who had intervention. And that's the basis for Aruba being a real troublesome verdict for us. What our study showed is that there was no significant difference in stroke and death rates in the observed patients versus the intervened patients. And that, I think, is really the bottom line, is that what we have said all along, that the Aruba results really don't reflect surgery and that the outcomes in Aruba were just not representative of what could be achieved with good, high-quality American centers. What our study shows is that that was, in fact, the case, that when you compared the observation arm with the intervention arm, that there was no significant difference. I think it's a good rebuttal or an answer back to the Aruba trial.
Michael, if you could discuss the details related to the complications in the observed group in the study. As the abstract implies in this paper, there was one observed death from an AVM hemorrhage in a patient who was in the non-intervention group, and there were 9 treated patients who had a stroke or death. There's 1 out of 13 in patients who were observed then, and 9 out of 61 in patients who had treatment. Obviously, there is a bias toward patients who had treatment here. Nonetheless, the statistical analysis did not reach significance in terms of detecting a difference. So would you mind discussing the 9 patients who underwent adverse effects due to treatment?
We had those 9 patients who reached primary outcome in the intervention group. And it's important to recognize that there were 4 of those in the radiosurgical arm. 2 of the 4 were due to latency hemorrhages during that waiting period after the radiosurgical treatment, which was uncomplicated, but the hemorrhages led to primary outcomes, death or disability, in 2 of those. On the surgical side, we had 2 deaths, and only 1 of those was perioperatively. 1 was in a patient who was completely resected and had a death that was from unrelated causes a while after the treatment. The way that we conducted the study was that my review of the data in the patients was essentially nil. This was all done through our database review by a third party. And so I don't have the details of the case, and this was done intentionally to keep our results unbiased. I will say that of the 5 surgical patients in this group that had complications, there are only 2 of the patients that ended up dependent other than those 2 deaths that I already discussed.
Well, obviously that's an excellent result from this very complex group of patients. Michael, if you don't mind, I just want to have a very short, quick, open discussion regarding the Aruba, because as you know, there is often this feeling of how much do I have to obey by Aruba? Obviously, there's legal aspects that enter in this whole equation of offering a patient surgical treatment and potential complications and later criticism. If obeying by the study or particularly taking it to heart as a religious conviction should allow a neurosurgeon to offer surgery to even patients in a low-risk group for surgical intervention. It's really my personal opinion. I want you to comment on this. Is that really, in summary, we should continue to offer microsurgical resection for AVMs that are in grade 1 or 2, Professor Martin, since the low risk of surgery justifies our philosophy. However, it's going to be ultimately the responsibility of us as physicians to properly inform and guide our patients in order to achieve the best outcomes. And really, the Aruba trial is a critical reminder of this responsibility and not much more than that.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, which is that surgery is really a great way to manage AVM patients who have low-grade lesions. So the Spetzner-Martin grade 1s and 2s really do very well with surgery. Aruba really doesn't say anything about surgical results in these patients because, as I said, so few were surgical patients in Aruba. And all these other case series of surgical results, particularly with low-grade AVMs, have been so solid. We have a paper that's in press just looking at our low-grade results, and we're able to show really excellent results in those Spetzner-Martin grade 1 and 2 patients. And so I think that we can continue to offer surgical intervention for these specific patients without feeling that Aruba changes the game. It's important that we do our job as a neurosurgical community, just carefully selecting our patients, making sure that we are judicious and selective in who we offer surgery. And I think the ones and twos really fit that nicely. I think we have to be careful about our final results. We have to use embolization very carefully as well to minimize the morbidity associated with that. I don't think that it's going to force us to take surgery off the table. I think there are many published experiences by many different surgeons that show that our surgical results for carefully selected patients are very good. It goes beyond the grade 1s and grade 2s. I and others have shown that we do well with grade 3s as well. Some of these lesions, I think, are also very favorable. Like any good evidence-based trial, raises the bar. We have to really focus on getting the best results possible and really being careful about how we do our surgery and how we manage our patients and really making sure that we strive for excellence. I think it will force us to really continue to raise the bar and work hard at it. One of the things I've been trying to do lately is to mount a response to Aruba, and there's been talk about a similar trial with just the low grades. This is what I've coined as the Barbados trial, standing for Beyond Aruba. It's a trial that will look at randomization. It'll look at some of the best or high-volume centers of neurosurgeons. It will just be the unruptured AVMs. We'll take embolization off the table, focus on the low grades, and insist on surgical cure. And these components of Barbados, I think if we were to try and conduct another trial with these criteria, really answering the lack of surgery in Aruba, I think we can demonstrate that surgery really does play a role and that we can get the kind of result that's in this particular paper here in our Aruba-eligible patients in a multi-center way, randomized way, if we want to do this scientifically.
I agree with you, Michael. I think doing neurosurgically led trial that is very much objectively managed, including grade 1 and 2 AVMs, and doing an adequate follow-up for these lesions would be the right answer. And I personally have no doubt that superiority surgery would be demonstrated. It would also remind us again, passion for excellence in cerebrovascular surgery is critical. And studies such as Aruba actually have some major advantages and remind us that people with significant experience such as yourself are on big centers that do large volume arch venous malformation surgery or that qualified individuals. And this would bring, again, the focus of AVM surgery to specialized centers, which is so important for ultimately good outcomes for patients who suffer from AVMs.
It would really behoove our community to really embrace a trial like Barbados and get on board and really answer the critics, do it in a scientific way that is randomized and evidence-based and really just cleanly defines that surgical role. I think it's going to be a challenge. I think it will be expensive. There'll be resistance because Aruba's already been done. But I think that's really the way out of this hole that we've dug for ourselves, and I think it can be done, and you know, hopefully people will support it.
Yeah, I think they should. With that in mind, Michael, I really want to thank you for your time, and I want to again thank you for all you do for neurosurgery and so many people who really look up to you and consider you as their main mentor and really somebody great to emulate. So thanks for everything, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Aaron. Pleasure as always.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This concludes our podcast for the September issue of Neurosurgical Focus. Please join us for the October issue, when the topic will be Advances in Endoscopic Skull-Base Surgery. Thank you for listening. The JNS mobile app is now available in iTunes and the Google Play Store. Just search for JNSPG to download the app for your mobile device today. For more information on how to submit your research to the Journal of Neurosurgery, please visit thejns.org and click on Info for Authors.